Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Here this morning, as we're looking here at Ephesians 5, just kind of what Dylan read for us, God reveals His will for us. It's not hidden. It's not secret. He speaks plainly what His will is. And I think these types of things when we find in God's Word, we need to kind of put up our spiritual antennas and take note of them and give attention to them so that way we can actually live the way that God desires for us to live. So what God says here about His will for our lives, it has a lot to do with time and how we use that time. And you'll see how all those things go together. We're actually going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to work backwards. So instead of starting with verse 15, we're going to start in verse 17 and then work our way backwards. So 17, 16, 15, so that we can get the big picture of it all. Because you'll see kind of looking at, if we were to look down and kind of see it, you'd see it in the very center, what God says His will is, and then we move out from that center, it gets bigger and bigger, and you'll see how those things come together there. So, this is what I want you to take away with you today. God's will is that I make the best use of time in knowing His will and living for it. So God's will is that I make the best use of time knowing His will and living for it. So God reveals His will. I'm supposed to use that time wisely that He gives me in knowing it and living for that will. So use your time wisely in all those things. So let's take note here a few things. So we're going to start here, actually in verse 17. Again, we're going to work our way backwards. So if I'm going to make the best use of time, I then first must need to know what His will actually is. Now, we've been spending many weeks looking at the different things that God shows us what His will is. Okay, we've seen things as far as like our conduct, what we're supposed to be living for, all those things, and all those things are true. All those things are still part of that. But here in Ephesians, God actually reveals to us what His will is, and Paul spends some time talking about that, and he reveals that to us. And so clearly what the text says here, it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so I need to understand the Lord's will. He's telling us that either we are wise and we understand His will, or we're foolish and we're just don't care at all. And so He wants us to understand what His will is. So that means we have to dig. That means we have to spend time. That means we have to examine the Scriptures and spend time in God's Word, discerning and knowing what His will is. And it's not something that's kind of like mysterious or, you know, I didn't know. It's like secret. No. Like I said, God clearly tells us what His will is, and He reveals those things to us. As we looked at last week out of Ephesians, God's will for our life is that we live a life that is pleasing to Him. We saw some of those things out of Ephesians 5:10. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, right? And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do this. We can live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Remember, Paul gave us four things that he told us what we can do that actually pleases the Lord. And these are things that we can do that helps us discern what is pleasing to Him. But here in Ephesians 5:17, you see that word, therefore. This is kind of like Paul summing up everything that he's been talking in all of the previous verses, all the previous chapters. So he's been talking about God's will. And so now he sums it up and he says, therefore, okay, because of all this stuff I've been talking to you about the Lord's will, therefore, you need to do what? Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so he's trying to, I guess in a way, trying to tie two pieces of information together, everything that he's been talking about in the previous chapters and how all of that relates to the will of God in our lives, what God desires. And it's really no secret what that is. Paul shows us clearly what the will of the Lord is. Let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to see this because he clearly states it from the very beginning, what the will of the Lord is, and we don't need to be foolish about it. So at Ephesians chapter 1, check with me in verses 9 and 10. Paul writes here, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to do what? To unite all things in him. Things in heaven and things on earth. So what is the will of the Lord that we should be understanding? The will of the Lord that we should be understanding is knowing that God himself is working and he's bringing all things under submission to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. We see that clearly, like even in Revelation, right? It says that every tongue, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that who? That Jesus Christ is Lord. He's doing this. And we don't need to be like, you know, unwise about it. God is working his plan in doing that. He's reconciling all things to himself. He's reconciling all of creation to himself. He's bringing people into his body, right? God is at work in all of this. And so this is God's defined will as the union of all things in heaven and all things on earth. And he's bringing all those things into submission. And as believers in Christ, if we know Christ, then what we should be doing, we've been brought into the church. We've been brought under his submission. We've been brought into his body, right? We should know that. And he's working in us. And because of that, we are to be submitting to him in every area of our life. I mean, this is clearly taught in Ephesians chapter 5 as the church submits to Christ, right? In all things. So as believers in Christ, we're supposed to be submitting to Jesus in every area of our life. Why? Because God is reconciling everything to himself. This is his will. And we see all of this is laid out. Here's the other verses that you can see in the book of Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through verse 22. And also Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. So he lays all of these things out as what the will of the Lord is. And so we don't need to be foolish. We need to understand what his will is. So in context of what Paul is talking about here, Ephesians 5:18, of understanding what the will of the Lord is, he wants us to understand what God's will is in regards to how we use our time in connection with that, with those things. With his submission, with understanding that he's uniting all things to himself, he's reconciling all things to himself. So what does this mean for us? I mean, how does this actually affect me? How am I going to use my time? Well, there's two things that I believe we can learn from this, okay? Number one, the importance of truth and love in the church body. The importance of truth and love in the church body. If God is reconciling all things to himself, if he gives us his word clearly and tells us how to live, what we're supposed to be doing, there should be an importance of truth in the church. We should be submitting to truth, bending our knee to truth, desiring truth, loving truth. So how does that look like practically in our lives? Within the church body. Do we champion truth and love in the lives of each other? Or is it just, well, you do you, I'll do me, however you want to live, that's fine. Do we champion truth and love in the lives of each other? Think about in our marriages. Are we championing for truth and love in our marriages? In our family, are we championing for truth and love in our family? Why? Because God is reconciling all things to himself. And so there needs to be a love for truth in our lives. And it should be important in the church body. Secondly, we should know our role in the body of Christ. What is your role in the body of Christ? God uses all things, right? He's using the body of Christ to reconcile all things to himself. You know, it's interesting. I don't know how many of you have ever assembled things. You know, you get it in the box and you pour out all the pieces, you know, and you're laying everything out. You got your screws and you got your dowel rods. You got your, you know, the IKEA stuff is notorious for all this kind of stuff. But you got all your things, and you're looking at the instructions. You're going, oh, my word, who drew these, right? And then you start looking through all the pieces, and you're going, look at this. I only got three more seven-shaped brackets, and it says I need three L brackets, right? You know, I need some other pieces here. Well, the idea is the body of Christ, when we assemble together, it's not just showing up. Every single part of the body is important. Why? Because if you don't have all the pieces, you're not going to get the whole thing. And so when we assemble together, we're actually able to fulfill God's will for our lives and do what? See how God is reconciling all things to himself. And so we must know our role in the body of Christ. And so don't be foolish, right? Be wise about knowing what the will of the Lord is. And so we need to use our time wisely. So if we're going to make the best use of our time, we need to know what the will of the Lord is. So that's verse 17. Now let's look here at verse number 16. So working our way backwards, okay? So we started kind of at the center, knowing, hey, this is God's will. What is it? He's uniting all things to himself. He's reconciling all the world to himself. He's bringing all things under submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're stepping back just a little bit. And if we know what the Lord's will is, he's bringing everything into submission. We now see two important truths here about knowing God's will. Look what he says. Making the best use of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Not that they are becoming evil, not that they might be evil, but they are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So two important truths. Number one, the days are evil. When Paul was writing this, he was talking about evil days as being a reality, not something in the future. I think we all have this idea that, you know, well, back in the 1800s, people weren't as bad. No, they were. And we go, well, you know, people back in the 1700s, they weren't as bad. I mean, they were even a little bit better. And the closer, no. How do I know that? Why? Because Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, right? It's always been a problem ever since the fall, right? In Genesis, there has been that deception and evil that has been present. And so the days are evil. We're living in evil, evil days. In just the prior verses prior to this, Paul warned about the darkness and the evil that the world had succumbed to. Listen to what he says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. He says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. The city of Ephesus during this time was almost in a way like our modern day America. Rampant, open type of living that people did and practiced. We live in a very secular society. Some would even say that it's post-Christian society. People are very, they don't have an understanding of who God is. They don't have an understanding of what the Word of God says, right? We're Bible illiterate. We're spiritually illiterate people. So you need to know if you're going to live a godly life that you're going to encounter ungodliness all around you, right? And that's what was even going on here when Paul was writing to this church at Ephesus. And we need to remember that God's truth always runs counter to the way the culture is, okay? Now, there are churches that like to run along with the culture, right? They don't stand for anything. They don't live for anything, right? But if we're going to live for Christ, we need to understand that we're going to be going against the grain of the culture. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about being weird here, okay? I'm just talking about living as salt and light, living for truth, standing up for righteousness, right? And truth, making sure that those things are things that we hold to. And so we need to be using our time wisely because the days are evil. Look at the second thing he says here. We need to make the best use of the time. Time is a gift. We have a grandfather clock in our house that Jamie's parents gave us. And it's got a little Bible verse on there. And every single time when I go over there to wind it up, I read that Bible verse. My times are in your hand. Right? Time is a gift. Right? God gives us time and he expects us to use it wisely. Okay. Now, I'm not going to guilt trip you here, and maybe some of you have smartphones. You ever get those notifications? You just spent 75 hours on whatever, right? You know, you see the little notifications, how much time you wasted, right? I'm not here to guilt trip you. I'm just saying the fact that time is precious. Time is a gift. God expects us to use that time wisely to live for him. Okay? Because one day, all of this is going to be gone. And only for what we did for eternity is what will really matter. That's it. Okay? So we got to use our time wisely, making the best use of the time. That word, that phrase there, making the best use of the time, is literally redeeming the opportunity. Redeeming the opportunity. Think of it almost in a way of bargain hunting. Now, I love bargain hunting, okay? Now, I even steep as low as dumpster diving, okay? The worst is when you're digging around in the dumpster and the dumpster trash water seeps into your shoes. Yikes, okay? That's pretty bad. I usually now when I inspect dumpsters, I go looking and I see if there's anything that kind of looks good. You know, sometimes you can get fooled by what's in there, okay? So you got to be wise what you're looking for. Hey, I found some great stuff in the dumpster, believe it or not. I mean, great stuff. I pulled it out of the trash, cleaned it up, sold it. Man, it was awesome. So it's the idea of bargain hunting, you know? We go and we may find something that's a great deal. And what do? Snatch it up right away, right? We're not going to waste any time because we know this is a great deal. Okay? That is what God is trying to communicate to us. He says we need to be making the best use of the time, looking for those opportunities that you can snatch up so that way you can live for Christ. Live for him. Be doing what you can so that you knowing what his will is. 2 Corinthians 4:18 puts it this way. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So looking for the opportunities that God gives us so that way we can live for him, so that way we're not foolish about what the will of the Lord. Now here are just a few practical ways you can redeem the time. Now some of these are pretty that we know, right? But these are ways that we can actually snatch up that time that God gives us. Okay, so here's just a few practical opportunities. Bible reading, right? Be reading through God's Word. Now, again, I'm not trying to guilt you into be like, you know, you need to be spending at least 4 hours reading the Bible. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about reading God's Word, right? Spending time in God's Word, knowing God, right? Reading God's Word. Prayer. Pray with your family, other believers. We have an opportunity once a month, first Wednesday of the month, prayer meeting, right? Praying together, prayer. How about be a disciple and make disciples? We're commanded to do that. We're commanded to go and make disciples. Not make church members, make disciples. That's what God calls us to do. So this isn't hard. This is just spending time with another believer. Spending time with somebody, pouring your life into them, talking about how God has been at work in your life. Helping them, strengthen them, sharing with one another. That's disciple making, right? Sharing the gospel with others, right? Jeff had mentioned we have some gospel print information that you can hand out. But even just sharing the gospel, talking about Christ. Right? These are opportunities that God gives us so that we can snatch them up and use them for His will, making the best use of our time. How about sharing your victories and sufferings? You know, we do that here on Sundays. We talk about testimonies, right? Now, don't take this the wrong way, okay? I know that we have physical needs in our life, prayer things. You know, we pray about people that are sick and pray about surgeries and stuff. But what about things like, you know, last week, I was really angry and I was really tempted to just say some things, do some things, and I asked the Holy Spirit to help me, and He did help me. Why are we not sharing those things? Struggles, right? These things that God is doing in our life, sharing these victories, sharing what the sufferings that we're going through, okay? I think those things are important. Because I believe when we do that, it strengthens others. I mentioned this last week in our men's group. One of the men shared just like how he turned things over to God. You know, he's going through a struggle. He turned things, and he just said it just felt like there was just like this weight, right? Lift it off. Right? That's encouraging, right? To hear those things. That's amazing. So use those opportunities. How about serving the body of Christ? Find out what your spiritual gifts are, right? Serving the body, assembling together, being a part of the body and serving the body. Here's a good one. This one we don't do often. Practice hospitality, right? Not necessarily just with other believers, inviting them into your home, sharing a meal with them, but even strangers. Right now we're getting up on spring and summertime, and so you're going to have a lot of people. Even now, since we had all this, the wind, and you're going to find people coming over to your house and, hey, I was just looking at your house up there. Looks like you got some hail damage up there. Great opportunity, you know, to give them some water, talk with them about Christ. One thing that we've been doing is we got some books. It's More Than a Carpenter, Josh McDowell. And so when these people come to our house, we talk to them a little bit, and then we give them those books, right? We pass it along, right? Hospitality. I've had people, we invited them over for dinner. They gave us their whole spiel about how they can sell this and have this great deal. Hey, I got some hot dogs on the grill. We're going to grill them up. You can have a hot dog with me, and you can tell me about your product, and I'm going to tell you about the Lord, right? Hospitality. Right? These are ways that we can do that. So practice hospitality. These are ways we can snatch up that time. So God's will for our life is that we make the best use of our time. How are we going to do that? First, we have to know what the will of the Lord is. He's reconciling all things to Himself. He's bringing all things under submission, right? And we know that we're living in evil days, and so we got to snatch up those opportunities that He gives us so that way we can fulfill that will. Lastly, here it is. Be careful and wise in your Christian life. So we started at the center, knowing what the will of the Lord is. We worked our way out, knowing that the days are evil. We got to snatch up that time. Lastly, he tells us here that Since the days are evil, and since we got to snatch up that time, what do we have to do? We have to be careful and wise in your Christian life. So working our way backwards here, we see this. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully then how you walk. The walk is our manner of life, how we live life. I want you to write this question down if you're taking notes, okay? How do I live my life? I'm not asking you what you do. I'm asking you, how do you live your life? If we had to take record of this, is it in line with the teachings of God's Word? Is how I live my life, does it line up with what God's Word teaches? Or does it deviate? Does it become what I want to do? Or is it what God wants me to do? Okay? How do I live my life? He tells us to be careful and wise in your Christian life. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, God says, you are unwise and you are foolish. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. In other words, be what you are. So if God has brought you into his family, if he's redeemed you, he's given you new life, you need to live that way. You don't need to be foolish. You don't need to be unwise. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16 says it this way. Like obedient children, do not comply with the evil urges you used to follow in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves in all of your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy because I am holy. When your life is over and you're standing before God, what do you want God to say about how you lived your life for him? We're all going to stand there one day. We're all going to have to give an account. In Ecclesiastes, it says that this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep his commandments. Verse 13 says this, the ending of Ecclesiastes says this. It says that we know that God is keeping record of everything, and everything's going to come to light, and all of it's going to be judged, right? So we have to make the best use of our time, knowing the days are evil, and we need to walk carefully, and we need to walk wisely in our Christian life. And all of that just doesn't happen. It takes work. It takes work. It takes discipline to do those things. A vibrant relationship with God does not happen by chance. It's when, as a believer, we decide to walk according to his word, to submit to his word, and follow his word in all of those things. Okay. So, today, choose to be wise. Choose to know what the will of the Lord is. Choose to know that you're living in evil days, and snatch up those opportunities so that you can live for him. Choose to walk wisely, okay, and carefully. Okay? God gives us his will. He tells us what it is. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church, or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.